Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 woo!
And now, welcome to Good Things Radio with your host, Brooke Taylor.
Hello and welcome to episode 27 of Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor, broadcasting from beautiful Northeast Ohio. And on the show today, we have in the house, quite literally, a very special guest, someone that you've heard me refer to on the show before. His name is Father Nathan Cromley, and Father Nathan is with the Order of St. John, part of the St. John Institute. The founder, really, and we'll get to that. We'll talk a lot about that. The founder of Eagle Eye Ministries, author, speaker. I'm so excited to say our retreat master for Arise, the Good Things Radio Women's Retreat coming up next March. And no matter where you are in your faith, what faith you are, you can trust that your day will only get better when you have an opportunity to spend some time with a priest who is speaking to your heart. That's just a slam dunk. It's going to happen. So that is our prayer for you today, our hope with some of the topics that we're going to cover. And let's just jump right in. Welcome, Father Nathan, to the show. And I tried to offer just a little snapshot, but it's hard because there's so much of you, from adventurer to missionary to trailblazer of the new evangelization. And Father Nathan, I know that we're going to jump into all of that, but would you begin our podcast today with a prayer?
Sure thing. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. God, we ask you to give us grace during this show. Help us to hear your words of hope. Help us to know your presence and your victory in our lives, and to lift up our eyes to the mountains whence shall come our help. For our help comes in your name, the name of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Father. I have to be candid with our listeners and share that this morning I woke up and for the last few days I thought I have to try to snag Father Nathan in the shadow of time that you are here, because you're always jetting off to different places. You're studying theology, you're celebrating Mass, and I wanted to try to just capture a few minutes of your time to share with our listeners on the podcast today. So I was going to text and you called and said, I'm driving, so it would be safer to just talk. And I said, I'd love, would you be willing maybe to come on the podcast? You said, well, I can come right now. I'm about to drive by. You're traveling from way out of town in Cincinnati. So I am a little flustered and really excited and not as prepared as I'd like to be. But you were so gracious to do this. So first of all, thank you. And I would like to just have you take a minute to share your story, if you would. And I know we'll get to St. John Institute, but a bit about your calling, your order, who you are and what you do, Father Nathan.
Well, you know, it's an honor to speak with you, Brooke, and with all of your listeners, because your listeners are the type of people who are really changing the world. People will say, what's your story, Father Nathan? And I say, I have an incredible family. I have an incredible extended family. And my family and my extended family poured themselves into my life and taught me to be the type of person that I try to be now. So as I learn from the family, I try to pass on. As simple as that. And that's why what you guys are doing in the home is, there's no one who can replace mom. There's no one who can replace dad. No government, no class, nothing. And so I just want to encourage you. My story is a simple one. I came from a family that loved and that taught me to love. And when I met the Lord Jesus, I knew that he wanted me to love his people in his name. And there was just a conviction in my heart, reading the Bible and going to church, that he wanted to shepherd his people through me, that he was calling me to be a shepherd for his people. And so that's what I did. I left everything behind and I followed that call. And so I became a Catholic priest in 2007, and I joined the religious community of St. John, the Congregation of St. John is what we call that. Religious community it's like a way of living out your priesthood, if you'd like to put it that way. You have people who are Christians, and then you have Christians who live together in a special community way that of incarnating the gospel. And those are called religious. Examples of that would be like, you're at your Franciscans, your Jesuits, your Dominicans. Well, we don't have a cool name like the Johnnies or the Johnites. We're just the community of St. John. But that order was founded in 1975 in France, and it's the community that I've joined. And I've lived there since 1998, became a priest in 2007. And so now I continue to serve God's people as a member of that congregation, doing a variety of different things as the Holy Spirit indicates and as the obedience of my community allows.
Wow, that's beautiful, extraordinary. And your eye is on the sparrow, because as you are so eloquently describing that, my son Gus came down in his incredible Hulk costume, and he's hacking at your shoulder. My phone's ringing, the lawnmower's going. So thank you for your unflappable peace. I'm trying to take notes as you so beautifully describe your call and your mission and your encouragement to families. And would you mind elaborating on that? Because your ministry, Eagle Eye Ministries, I know is one that really focuses on the heart of young men and women, of teens, and the adventures that you go on, from hiking in Iceland to an upcoming pilgrimage you have planned in Norway. It really is an opportunity to have an encounter with Christ in all things. And from your perspective, and now that you're at Walsh University as well, you have a really unique viewpoint into these cultural kids, whether those that are very devoted or those who are just trying to figure it out. So could you speak to that a little bit, Father Nathan, the young men and women that you encounter, some of the challenges they're facing, and how mentors and parents can help our own children and shepherd them in their faith?
It is a lot of fun here at the Taylor household, I have to admit. I would like just to encourage you all by recognizing a line that comes from St. Augustine. It's kind of a strong phrase, but it's so true. He said, "The young man who goes knocking on the brothel door knocks there seeking God." And I just want to like encourage people, because a lot of times we give up on young people because they're messed up. But the definition of a young person is to be messed up. By definition, a young person is trying. They're growing. If you go into a garden, you see a lot of mess. Plants growing tall are not clean. The process of life is a process of maturation, and that is a lot of organic growth and pushing and dying off and things that are tried that are not successful, etc., until finally you come to the finished product. And I just think our human lives follow in that same path. When we talk about teenagers or young adults, we need to look at them with eyes of hope. No matter how hopeless they seem, you've got to look at them like God looks at them. He doesn't look down and say that this person doesn't have hope or doesn't have a possibility for life. Instead, he sees all kinds of potentiality in their heart, and he feeds that. So I think that that's the first lesson for us to take hope in, is if God hasn't given up on your child, either should you.
Right. I love that truth, because I think it's a reminder, as we feel so often as parents that we failed. If our child strays or there's a prodigal, even for a few months, that we think, oh, Lord, you know, where did we go wrong? And we cry out to them, and to know that it's part of the process. What a beautiful consolation for a mother and father's heart. That is a fantastic perspective. Father Nathan, thank you. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about men in particular, because you kind of touched on that with the St. Augustine quote. So, you know, some of the guys grow up and they grow out of it and they mature in faith. Others are still seeking, and now they're fathers or they're even grandfathers in some cases. Where can we reach men, whether it's a wife or whether it's a man listening right now today, to help them grow in their faith and become the leaders that God has called them to be in their homes?
Brooke, I'm so happy you tell me about this, because I've got something we need to announce to the whole world. There is now a letter written by a bishop on Catholic manhood. And of course, it's not just for Catholics, it's for Christians throughout the world. Absolutely amazing. It's Archbishop Olmsted in Phoenix, Arizona, has written a terrific resource that I want to direct everyone to. You can find it. It's called intothebreach.net. And the name of the document, the letter that he wrote, is called Into the Breach. And it's a quote, of course, from the Bible, where it says, "I was desiring someone who would go into the breach and shepherd my people." And it's an incredible document. discovering and reaching our Catholic or Christian men, and of course our Catholic men, is something that we got to absolutely put all of our efforts into, because God created man and woman, and he entrusted woman to man, and he gave the heart of man to woman, pointed her towards woman, but entrusted woman to man. And so you've got this wonderful complementarity between men and women, where men are called to serve women, and women are called to serve men in complementary ways. And if we look at it from that perspective, like Ephesians tells us in Ephesians 5:25, we can be subject to one another out of reverence to Christ. What I start to realize is that just as much as the world needs women, the world needs men. And just as bad as it would be for us to say, no, the whole world should just live in a masculine way, it would also be a terrible thing for us to say the world should live in a purely feminine way. But that's not a message that a lot of our men are getting. Instead, a lot of times we feel as if there's no real place for the particular graces that God has given us. And so what we end up saying is, we don't have any particular graces. And I think that's why you got a lot of men sitting on their hands today. What can we do about it? I have a great way to describe this. If you know that you are needed and you know that you are wanted, you will serve. If to reawaken the heart of a husband or reawaken the heart of a son, of a grandfather, tell him and show him where you need him, where you want him, but not on your terms, on his terms. Allow him to give himself. This is something I think that our Lord did with the apostles. He said, follow me. It's amazing that he went out calling, inviting them, asking them, as he says with John, right? Remain with me. You know, what do you seek? And he says, where do you live? And he said, come and see. There's like this incredible desire in the heart of Christ that summons the heart of a man. And that's, I think, where we have to start.
I love what you said on their terms, because how often as a wife, I can maybe admit to this, maybe leaving an article out strategically for my husband to stumble upon about, you know, godly fatherhood or something that might not have been on his terms, but you're saying more of an invitation, a gentle call to step up and use their gifts in the way that God's been calling to say, you are needed.
Well, yes, it's so funny to me, Brooke, because men don't realize that women aren't men. And women don't realize that men aren't women. And in the story of spirituality, so many times wives actually drive their husbands further away. And it's not because you're not telling them that they're needed or wanted, but it's that you're specifying to them that the way that they should respond. And the way that they should respond in your eyes is like you would think that they should respond, which is normal, of course.
Right.
But you've got to remember that they're not women. They're not you. And so their pathway to God has got to be their own. And a lot of respect needs to take place. Just as he would be wrong if he asked his spouse or his friend to pray in his way and force that person to only live like he wants them to live. Well, at the same way, how many wives are absolutely incapable of letting their husband just be with God his way, or even love his God his way? And now I agree, we got to stimulate him. We got to make sure, because sometimes his way might be the famous line, well, I talk to God in my deer stand, you know. I like to counter that by saying you can talk to God in a deer stand, but you can't go to mass in a deer stand. It's a very different thing. You know, going to mass requires church. But there's almost a lack of respect for the heart a lot of time, where we kind of are so desperate to see them love the way we think that they should love, that we try to force them to love the way that we want them to love. And love can't be forced. Love is a gift and an outpouring of their true selves. And so I think I would start, if I had that kind of situation, by really recognizing and showing them respect for who they really are. Start by a week's worth of work of just every day, three times a day, doing something that shows that you admire and respect them for who they are, the way they are. And after a week's worth of tilling that ground and prepping it, why not then start to explore a way that they could also enter into a spiritual path?
I love that. And it's a topic we could easily spend the entire show on, let alone the topic of young men and women and teens. I also want to cover women as well, because you are, thankfully, blessedly, our retreat master for Arise, a Good Things Radio Women's Retreat. It's really through your prompting and your encouragement, as well as the desire of the listeners, that this came to be. So first, thank you for that. But as you are participating and directing retreats really all over the nation, I'd love for you to speak to the heart of women, and not only those who will be attending this retreat and what we're hoping to receive from it, but what you see as women today that we really need in our hearts and the things that we're struggling with.
Oh my goodness. I'm so glad. Brooke, this is so much fun. I mean, I never get to do this. This is great. What do women need? Well, I think you know so well what you need, the same things that you needed from the very first moment that God created you. He created you to know him as a father. He wanted you to know his heart. And you were the last creation that God created on this earth. He made the trees and the bushes and the waters, and he made the lands and light and darkness and fish and birds, and he made dogs, and then he made men. And then he made women. And when he finished, when he made a woman, he never created another creation. Like, he rested. It's the most incredible thing. Thomas Aquinas says, an artist only puts his paintbrush down when the painting is finished. And it was only when he had woman on the earth that God stopped creating. Why? Because she's the masterpiece. She's what all of creation was created for. Not in the sense that she's the queen that reigns over it, but in the sense that this at last is the perfect summation of all of the physical world united to the soul that I was going to create. And that means that there's a mission that you have as women that you need to find and embrace. And it's the mission that for which your father created you. Remember, if we go back to Genesis, why did God create woman? Well, he created woman because man needed her. And why did man need her? Because he could not become fully good without her. And that means that the mission for woman in God's plan is to receive and to make flourish the heart of men. Now, you can look at it just as male, female, absolutely fine. But I think you can also look at it as all of humanity. John Paul II, in his letter to women, said that the mission of woman is the heart of all people. She has the soul of humanity to guard, to protect, to celebrate, and to bring forth. Because if she fails, says John Paul II, we'll end up in a world of technology, of efficiency, of machinery, a world that has everything material but has forgotten its soul. And so when you ask me, well, what do women need? I think you need two things. To remember your beginnings, that you were made from the heart of the Father as his masterpiece. And your end, that is your goal. And you were made from the heart of the Father's masterpiece to shine that light, that image of God that you are, that perfection of God that you alone express, and to make that light and that presence known in the world. That's something that makes you live.
Father Nathan, as I sit here in my cheesy pumpkin t-shirt, I feel more like a mess than a masterpiece. And that's most days, where I'm looking at the things I did not do, the ways that I failed, what I did and did not do. And to have it so eloquently conveyed, the truth of where our focus needs to be, not on this myopic vision of today and the moment of how I don't feel good and how I have all these things that I'm trying to juggle that I'm clearly dropping, but the end goal to elevate our vision up and to remember that God has this beautiful purpose, that even though we can't see the full path before us, that he's illuminating the way and calling us up and out. So thank you so much for that, because what a way to start the day. And not to mention the beautiful unfolding that will occur at the retreat. That's just one little snippet of what these women will experience. And I think that's also the encouragement of my heart, is the opportunity to have one-on-one time, so that to be with you in a spiritual direction kind of setting, that they're able to have balm to their heart in the way that they need it. By the way, tickets, a few, at least as I'm recording this podcast today, are still available for the retreat. I can't thank you enough for those that have already said yes and that are attending. Father Nathan, I know we need to wrap up in a few minutes, but probably the biggest thing, no doubt, that we want to talk about is the St. John Institute, because we have a bit of a summons for the audience, and not only in prayer, but in action. And I want to get to that. But before we do that, I want to also touch on Marian consecration, because that's something that you will be starting, and it will be at Walsh University. So for those who are in Ohio, if you can, even if you're a few hours away, it's worth the drive for the next several Wednesdays, where you not only wrote a book about Marian consecration, but you're going to be doing this in a beautiful kind of lecture mass setting. Could you explain for those that have no idea what Marian consecration is, what it is, especially the Protestant that might be very intimidated or weirded out, frankly, by that concept? Could you explain what it is?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I want to just say a word, first of all, to anyone who's weirded out by it. I was too. So I know exactly how you feel. It's such a strange thing, because we know that we serve God and we serve Jesus Christ, the one mediator between God and men. We know that He alone is the Lord, and He alone is worship, or is worshipful and worthy of our worship. And that's, of course, everything that we profess as Catholics as well. We only want to serve and highlight the glory of Jesus Christ, because He alone is King of this world and universe. And so when we talk about consecration to Mary, we obviously are kind of confusing terms. One is only consecrated to God, and that's absolutely the case. What we have here is a play on words that Catholics do all the time, and it gets us in trouble because it confuses everybody. this is so amazing. Like a Catholic will kiss the crucifix and then will kiss a statue of Mary, and people say, look, you kissed both. And well, yeah, but I didn't mean it in the same way. And people say, oh, my goodness. Well, why didn't you just do a different thing? We're like, well, because we're just not used to that. Our faith lives and lived in a culture that, except where everybody was Catholic for lots and lots of years. So a lot of these practices, like, say, consecration to Mary, well, that was originated in France, where there was just everybody was Catholic when this priest was walking around talking about it. And so he assumed that everybody would know what he meant. And then you take that same term, and 300 years later in America, you use it because it's become like the traditional way of speaking. And then everybody says, wait a second, you're only consecrated to God. And then a priest like me says, oh my goodness, people, really? Do I have to go over this again? Of course, you're only consecrated to God. And yet when we talk about consecration to Mary, we don't mean it in the same way. So just like I could say, I'm going to consecrate myself to my writing for the next 3 hours. Imagine if you took a horror at that and said, you can't consecrate yourself to your writing. You say, well, what I mean is that I'm dedicating myself to the writing. Well, same thing with Mary. What does this mean? In what all it means is that you're making a choice, like St. John did in John 19:28, when from that hour he took the woman into his home. He took Mary into his home. And like St. Joseph in Matthew chapter 2, who took Mary as his spouse, we're going to take Mary, so to speak, and a personal relationship with her as our coach, if you'd like, our teacher, our educator, our helper. Well, gosh, let's just keep going a couple more steps. As our mother. I mean, Jesus told St. John, behold your mother. Well, John took her into his home as his mother. Well, if John could do it, why can't I? It's as simple as that. But I mean, if St. Paul could talk about himself as a father, and he could say, I've loved you, you know, with a mother's love. Well, I mean, it's pretty neat. And then he's like, am I not your father in God? I mean, it's pretty neat. St. Paul says that. Well, at the same time, my goodness, why can't Mary be that? If we could have a relationship with our pastor, where he really mentors us and teaches us and disciples us. All right, well, that's what we're doing with Mary. We're asking her by this act, in a way of the heart, we're saying, Mary, disciple me. Teach me to love Jesus, serve Jesus, worship Jesus, be completely consecrated to Jesus like you were. because nobody loved him more. I mean, nobody loved him more. Even biblically, her heart was transpierced with a spear, with a sword, said Zechariah in the temple. Well, her heart was transpierced. Where? At the cross, because she stood there valiantly at his foot. She followed him throughout his apostolic life. She spent 30 years staring at him, feeding him, listening to him, watching him, teaching him. She was one with him. Well, I want to be one with him. And so I ask Mary, Mary, take me into your union of love with Jesus. Make my heart beat for him like yours beat. Well, you're like, well, how do I do that? Well, I say, well, you make a prayer and you say, okay, I'm going to do that right now. I say, all right, right now you can choose Mary as the mother of your personal Lord and Savior. And you say, well, how do I do that? Well, I say, okay, just say the prayer. Mary, I give myself to you. I give my family to you in order that you might teach it, form it, coach it, help it, as to follow and be one with Jesus Christ, who alone is my God. And you said amen. If you say amen at that moment, you just made a consecration. Now, what I'm doing is a program that just flushes that out a little bit more. It takes 33 days. There's a wonderful reading every day to make it easier from the Bible, and then a meditation to follow. And over the course of 33 days, you make a preparation of yourself so that then in a formal way, using this beautiful prayer that was written by a saint 300 years ago, you can do the same thing that you just did right there. But you do it in a formal, beautiful way so that it kind of soaks in and makes something that's a bit of a stronger choice. And then in the end, what do? You get up and you live the same exact Christian life that you lived before, but you live it this time with Mary right at your side, her mantle around you, her heart teaching you how to love him and be dedicated to him as intensely as she was.
Well, you know, I think in light of what you said about womanhood earlier, it really does, on a very simplistic, basic level, give us that appreciation for her, her dignity, blessed among women, that you, even if you're a Protestant and not someone that has an automatic attachment to Mary, can quickly understand the beauty of that. And it also, I think, speaks to the power of the rosary for those that may or may not be familiar. And your theology clearly is solid, and my description, I'm sure, will be flawed. But what I told to my 3-year-old son, because he's really into battles and, you know, lightsabers and things, is I said, with this rosary, it is like a dual weapon where when you pray the beads and we're saying the Hail Mary, you know, of course, she leads us to Jesus, just as you were saying. But I said, not only does each bead represent a flower that blooms in heaven, but also it's a bomb that goes right to the devil and explodes. And how the rosary can be both, because that's kind of the language he understands being a boy. Look, it's even shaped like a little bomb. It's a cannonball. So that was something that, you know, as you so beautifully lift us up to the explanation of the power of Marian consecration, how she takes us to Jesus, how she prepares us, and how she enlightens our hearts. I think the same can be said again for the rosary, but it's not mutual exclusive, you know, that they work together, they're complementary. And for those that want to attend, do you have the details? I know it's probably on the Walsh website, and we can post it as well in our newsletter, but do you at least know the time for the next few Wednesdays?
Absolutely. Well, I'd, of course, also like to point everyone towards the website for the Marian Faith Network. That's M-A-R-I-A-N faithnetwork.com. That's actually the website that's from my ministry at Eagle Eye Ministries. Eagle Eye Ministries is hosting this event, and so the details will be there. It's on Wednesday nights and at the Walsh University Chapel. I will be webcasting them simultaneously with a live streaming webcast, and that'll be embedded on the Eagle Eye Ministries site and also on the MarianFaithNetwork.com site. So if you want to and you can't make it to the Walsh Chapel, well, just tune in there and enjoy the program. That'll be a live stream that'll be simultaneous.
Really, that leads us to the St. John Institute. That's where I want to end and wrap up and kind of crescendo up to, because that's probably the biggest takeaway here of what you're doing. I mean, really, as we see this gift that you just unfolded, unwrapped for our listeners, and the wisdom that now they can take into their days and weeks, this is just a little sample, a glimpse of what is to become of the St. John Institute and all that you will be teaching and sharing. Could you explain a little bit about that and how we can get involved?
Oh my goodness. Well, the St. John Institute, I think, is a real gift from the Lord for the church, because it's about hope. You know, we have so many people today that say we don't know which way to move forward. How, where are we supposed to go? There's so many problems. The church has so many struggles. It seems like nobody really cares anymore. And so we, women of God and men of God, we have a choice that's in front of us here. We either sink or we swim. And I think it's neat because it's exactly the same as the first Christians had. And it's exactly the same situation as our forefathers had before us. It was never easy to push forward. The weight of things always drags us down. And yet the call of Christ is to go. He did not say sit. He did not say stay where you are and hold the status quo. He said go. There's a dynamism in Christianity. When we find that dynamism, we never stop. Instead, like the apostles, we go forward, even if it's only in spirit. And this is a real summons to you because the real battle isn't in the number of programs that are launched. The real battle is in the quality of a heart whose love, the flame of love, is never extinguished. And that's what the St. John Institute is all about. I want to create a place where we pass on and create in people's souls that hope that never goes out. It's almost like the St. John Institute is a formation place to put laborers in the Lord's harvest. So young people, for example, who are looking for an MBA, a master's in business degree, can come to my school of master's in business, get a fully accredited business degree from Walsh University, taking online classes, and yet have that fully accredited business degree from Walsh complemented by a life that's lived near the community of St. John, where you're praying every day, spiritual direction, outings, communitarian events, living with other young adults who are just like you, intent on giving themselves for the new evangelization. So what this institute will be in the end is a birthplace for the future.
I want to sign up right now. How can we get involved and help and encourage this?
The first way would be to go to the website, stjohninstitute.org, and read all about it. That's S-A-I-N-T, johninstitute.org. And we are opening, we're accepting our first class of students next August. So right on there, there's a little RSVP or interested form that you could fill out. We'll be in touch with you and walk you through kind of the application process. The idea is very simple. Young adults who are looking to make a difference in the world will be equipped to make that difference in their soul by prayer, in their mind by theology and philosophy, in their business skills by a fully accredited MBA, so that after 2 years, they're able to go out and make that difference in a sustainable, effective fashion. Putting laborers in the Lord's harvest, that's what we're all about. We want to be one ministry that forms 1,000 others.
First of all, thank you for saying yes in so many ways over and over to Christ, from hearing the call to receive a vocation and then live it out so beautifully. Say yes in the ways that you speak and that you offer retreats, your beautiful mass and your chant mass that has inspired so many. Is it standing room only now when you attend mass on Sunday evenings at Walsh and beyond, but also for the St. John Institute? And for our audience, how can we support you? Is it in prayer? We know that, number one, goes without saying. Do you need funds? Obviously, it sounds like you're looking for students. Is it word of mouth or all of the above?
We are an exciting opportunity for someone to go to heaven. Because we are the Samaritan laying by the side of the road at this point. We've got an incredible vision and we've got some great people trying to help, but we need support financially in order to make this happen. And at the same time, we need volunteers. So if you are moved by this and you'd like to be a part of an incredible endeavor that's part of Building Tomorrow, well, you can send an email to us through the stjohninstitute.org website, and we'll be happy to get in touch with you, because many, many and most talents are welcome. There's nothing more powerful than prayer. And yet at the same time, if someone is moved, we need financial support. And there's a way of giving, online giving, right there on the website. Obviously, a recurrent gift is always the best, but even a one-time gift, if you're interested, I'd love to talk with you. So just send an email, say, hey, you said you'd love to talk to me, and I'd love to talk with you, and let's build the future together.
Thank you, Father Nathan. A few websites as we close the show. StJohnInstitute.org. That's the website to get in touch with you, to offer a donation, prayer, connection. Eagle Eye Ministries. That is an entire apostolate in and of itself that is just beautiful and fantastic. You can find Father Nathan there, and more specifically about youth and young adults, but a lot broader than that as well, as well as the Marian website. Now, I just had it written down, MarianFaithNetwork.com. And as you mentioned, the series, The Marian Consecration, will also be available via webcasting, which will be on the website as well, Eagle Eye Ministries. So we will post all of that information. Thank you so much, Father, for your time. It's really hard to convey the gratitude not only of myself, but for our listeners, for you to just detour your car and come here to this morning zoo and to be a part of the show. God bless you for that. Would you bless our show with a closing prayer today?
Lord Jesus, we bow our heads in worship to you, King of the universe, King of our hearts. We pray that you, by your blessing, restore, renew, refresh, and reinvigorate the souls of all those listening to this webcast. May they dare great things for your name and be women who are watchmen for the dawn. May Almighty God bless you who are listening. In nomine Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Thank you, Father Nathan. God bless you. And thank you, Good Things Radio listener, for joining us today on the program. Another fantastic episode. Thanks to Father Nathan, episode 27 of Good Things Radio. I love that quote, "The quality of a heart whose love is never extinguished," from Father Nathan as he talks about the St. John Institute. Thank you so much. Also want to offer a big thumbs up to our incredible producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio, who has graciously decided that he would edit and produce and upload our programs for Good Things Radio. Does an amazing work. Also will be helping Father Nathan in a hopeful, prayerful upcoming podcast that he's yet to launch. So more details on that coming up. Thank you so much. You can find out more about Mark at cominghomestudio.com. God bless you. You can find out more about us, by the way, by increasing the visibility of our show. If you could just spare a few minutes, it would be wonderful. If you could head over to iTunes, search up Good Things Radio in the podcast directory, leave us a positive review. If you like what you hear, tell others about it. And of course, we always love to hear from you. If you have a question for Father Nathan, please send it in, because I have a feeling that he'll be back again if prayerfully he will say yes. But I would love to cover more topics in the future. So feedback at goodthingsradio.com is where you can find us anytime, whether it's a recipe or a prayer request or a comment. We love to hear from you. My name is Brooke Taylor. Thank you so much for joining us for Good Things Radio. Have a great day. Until next time, friends. God bless you.
This episode of Good Things Radio was produced by Mark Cumming at Cumming Home Studio, your solution for all audio and video needs. www.cominghomestudio.com.